men. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 22:2 that everyone was in distress. Everyone was in debt. Everyone was discontented, gathered in the cave with David. And so David became a captain over them. And let me ask you, have you ever been down in the dumps? Amen. Having problems your own self, only to have somebody else to come and try to dump all their problems on top of yours? Yes, but being the saint that you are, you couldn't tell them to leave you alone. Are you here? And so out of these 400 men who eventually joined David, not one of them came and brought him any comfort. Yet this crisis formula, this 911 solution I want to show us this morning came out of David's situation. But even more, this same solution I need to tell us will even work today. And so these discontented, discouraged men who were on the verge of a nervous breakdown, they looked to David for help. And so he had to come up with a solution. And my brothers and sisters, the solution is found here in our text in Psalm 57:1 that says, "O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in you. Yes, in the shadows of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities have passed." Now notice he says until these calamities pass by, or even until they, amen, are over with. In other words, my brothers and sisters, this was David's 911 distress call. But I need to tell us that this 911 solution have some call letters, and maybe you need to write them down. For the call letters are KRKP. Well, the first letter in our solution is K. And this word, this letter K, stands for no, meaning you need to know that your crisis will pass. Note the text says, until these calamities pass, meaning your discontentment will pass, your indebtedness will pass, your distress will come to pass. In other words, they didn't come to last always. My brothers and sisters, there are certain things you've got to know about a crisis, and that is, you got to know it's not going to last always. You got to know that our crisis will pass. As the songwriter said, "I'm so glad that trouble don't last always." Yes, because trouble, no matter how often it comes, trouble will come to an end. And so in essence, David is saying in verse 1, he said, "Have mercy on me, O God, until these calamities pass over me." Cover me until these calamities pass over me. He says, "Stand by me until these calamities pass over me." My brothers and sisters, the storm, I need to tell you, is passing over you in your crisis. And you have to know that God did not bring you this far just to leave you. And so whatever you're going through right now in your life, yes, if you trust in God, you ought to be able to say with confidence that this too shall pass. And so the first signal for help in our crisis is K. And that K stands for no. Now verse 2 of the text expresses the heart of the second call letter, and that second call letter is R. Now the R stands for remember. Note the psalmist says, "I will cry out to God Most High, who performs all things for me." In other words, here David remembers the source of his help. So he says, "I will cry, I will call, I will pray unto God Most High. I will call on God who brought me out of other crises, because I have."
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337 337- 238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Galatians 6 and 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I present to you our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord another hand of praise. Glory, 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 glory. It's so good to see you. So good to be back. I'm so grateful and thankful to the good Lord to see so many of you out tonight. Amen. And God is just good, isn't he? Oh, I know you can do better than that. God is good.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's about eyes are closed.
Dear
God, I have the Father. We thank you afresh now. Thank you for this privilege again of teaching the word. For the believers who are here, we have made sacrifice. We have pushed and pressed their way to be here. But God, we know your faith. Would that you would challenge our hearts through the word. That you'll meet us and minister to us through the text. And Lord God, when it's all over,
yes,
you receive all the praise, glory, and honor.
Yes, Lord.
And we, your people, the good. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of praise as you be seated in his presence. Amen. I hit my sinuses were acting up real bad. A little harder than I should have today. We got the DVD ready to run. All they have to do is push play. We were going to do that tonight, but I got in, see all the pretty faces, good looking saints of God. I said, well, I'm going to push it a little for tonight. So I'm going to try and go on and teach this again. If I give out on you, that's all right. You understand that my heart's desire is to be here and minister this word. But I want to go and share the text with you and with this opportunity. We're not going to run it right now. Amen.
All right. Well, y'all could say amen like you want to hear me instead of the DVD, because we can play the DVD now. Amen. I need a little encouragement there if we're going to make this thing work here tonight. This DVD is good.
All right, great. God bless you, Brother Avery, he says DVD is good, but not good as his pastor. So I ought to at least get one amen from you, Brother A.D. And Brother A.D. was at 12 noon today, too. Praise the Lord. I want to call your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 17. I want us to look at verses 11 through verses 19. And one of the interesting things about this word today is that when we understand and realize all that we have come through, we've gone through, all that we've dealt with, the disappointments, discouragements, disillusionments, dissatisfaction, all of those things that 2011 may have brought to us. What we do need to know tonight is that God is faithful. And what He is able to do for us has much to do with how our faith is connected. The story of 10 men being sentenced to death. They have death notice on their lives because they were 10 lepers. But they found out that by activating their faith and calling on the name of Jesus, that He was able to take that situation and turn around. As much as we've heard the story, there are some interesting points and nuggets that I pray you'll get for your own life that will show you and share with you today that the God we serve is an able God, and what He's done then, He can still do now. If the people of God will activate their faith and believe in His word. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says, "And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. My brothers and sisters, as we look at this word, and she had many interesting insights about this. One of the things that you need to know is that regardless of what God has brought you through, every time He brings you through something, it's always on the way to something. He brought us out of 2011, and there are some things that some of us would say might have been the roughest year of our lives. It might have been some terrible setbacks and some terrible things that happened. But He brought you into 2012. And that gives us the hope that He wanted us to be through in 2011, we wouldn't have made it in 2012. But more than that, it is to also help us understand that in 2012, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be trials. There are going to be tribulations. There are going to be situations. But God wants us to learn through all of that, that we, in spite of what we go through, should cause our praise to rise above our circumstance and give Him glory. Now the Bible says there was only one that turned back and cried with a loud voice and came, fell on his face and worshiped, glorified Him, praised Him, lifted Him up. And my question tonight is, are you the one? Are you the one that God can count on your job to give you praise and glory? And all of us are talking now about this and about that, and talking about their circumstances and their situations. Are you the one in a relationship or on a phone call where everything is bad who happens to say yes when it could have been worse? But God is bringing their circumstances and their situations. Are you the one in a relationship or on a phone call where everything is bad who happens to say a word that needs to be spread in a situation or place or in a group of people where nobody seems to remember that it was God who brought them through the things they've already been through and that they're on their way through or going through right now to be able to give God the praise? Are
you the one. If you forget anything else I say this night, I want to challenge you and hopefully help you to realize when you get to that place where you want to complain, become cynical and disillusioned, when you want to think, why has this bad thing happened to me? Why am I going through this, going through that? May I help you to remember that this is not the first time you've been through, or that you've gone through, or that you've come through, that if you will focus on the praise and focus on the Word of God and allow your faith to rise above your circumstances and your situation, God will show up in your situation every time. I want to go back to the Word and I want to share some things with you. I hope and pray will bless your heart. First of all, he says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, two places that were known to be the places of people who were non-Jewish for the most part and non-believers for the most part on his way to Jerusalem. And so he, with the purpose, necessitated that he go through these places to help these persons. So verse 12 says, and as he entered into a certain village, and well, you see certain in text like this, it is a true village, it is a true story. The only reason the name is not highlighted or spotlighted is because it is the principle of God that's highlighted. So you could put where certain is, Baton Rouge, Bangladesh, Budapest, on and on and on, it doesn't really matter. It was a real place. And what the principle says is, just like it happened there, it can happen here. All right? The word says, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. According to the Leviticus law, they couldn't come within 300 feet of society. And if they were to come anywhere near people, they had to cry out, lepers, leprosy, which would be to warn the people that they were filled with leprosy. And leprosy was very infectious and contagious. And so if people were to get close enough, they could catch leprosy by being in contact with the leper. And so it makes clear they cried with a loud voice afar off. And that's important to realize because, again, what you want to understand is Jesus went to them where they could not go to him. Jesus will meet you in your situation to bring you out of your situation. He made it his business to take the route that would bring him in the path of the people who needed him the most at the time they needed him the most. Look again, verse 13 says, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, what's interesting about how they titled this, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us? Well, they call this prophetic name Jesus. Jesus, Matthew 1:21 says that Mary would have a son called his name Jesus, and he would save his people from their sin. So they called on Jesus. And listen, leprosy was the byproduct most times because of sin. And that sin came because they violated either the law of God, which would be the sacred law, or they disobeyed the law, which was called the societal law, or the secular law. In either case, disobedience was the reason why most of them got leprosy, or sin was the bottom root line for the reason of leprosy. So they called on the one who is to save them from sin. But then they say Master, because he is the great teacher. He is the one who knows the Word better than anyone. But the truth of the matter is, he was the Word personified. He was the living Word itself. But then they called on mercy, and mercy was also used in a legal sense. It was a crime for a person who was not worthy, a person who admitted they did the crime, to have mercy by and upon him by the court. And so he calls, or they rather call on mercy, because who better than a God filled with mercy would have mercy on those who didn't deserve mercy. So now notice here again, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's a good thing to remember when you know you don't deserve mercy. That's a good thing to know when you call on him and you know that you're calling on him after you've missed it, after you've fallen short, after you've not done what you're supposed to do, that his mercy when everything else failed, according to his word, he said that will never fail. His mercy endureth how long? Forever. So they had sense enough to call for mercy. Can I tell you, when your situation and circumstance call for mercy, don't be too proud to beg for a little mercy. Listen at this word now. The Bible says, verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And the word says, and when they saw them. And when he saw them. Now that's interesting, because Jesus knew they were there, but he pretended not to see them so that they would call him into their situation, into their crisis. They called on him, invited him in their situation. You know, somebody said, well, the Lord knows what I'm going through. Yes, he does. But have you invited him in by invitation to fix your situation? Have you said to the Lord, Lord, if you don't help me, I can't make it. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, I know I won't make it through this. You've got to invite him in to let him know you know he's the only one who can do what you cannot do. When they did that, the word says he saw them. Now what he saw was their faith. And their faith, listen, called the faithful one. And the faithful one spoke the word that made them fit. And listen at this, they were fit when they walked in faith, and as they walked in faith, they became fit. And they looked at themselves. You know what the old folks say, I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new, and looked at my feet, and they did too. And so listen at this now, as they're walking in faith, they are becoming fit. Perhaps those who had leprosy the longest were the most who were decrepit by this debilitating disease. Fingers and limbs were falling off. Flesh was all messed up. And they were a sight to see. And they would notice, just as those who had leprosy, but maybe not as long as others, would notice the effect immediately. And every step, now you got to remember, it affects your walk, it affects the strength in your legs, your body, your everything. So they can't help but put one foot slowly in front of the next. And as they are walking to see the priest, every step they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And they're noticing how stronger they're getting. And when they get stronger, they're starting to pick up the pace. And as they pick up the pace, they start realizing, God, I ain't felt this good in years. And they start picking up their pace and more until they started running, because there is delight that fills them. Because they're on their way now because they are experiencing the deliverance that only Jesus can bring. So now as they're experiencing this delight and this deliverance, I don't want us to be too hard on them. Because a whole lot of us have been blessed and had to take the time out to say thank you to the Lord. The Lord has opened doors and made ways, and many of us have not turned to go back and say thank you to him. But listen at this. As they're on their way to the priest, they're excited because they're thinking back now to the last time they were able to be freely in society, freely back with their family, freely back with their friends, freely to be able to be natural and whole again in the sense of healing. So they're thinking about all of this as they go. So they're running to get their papers from the priest. But one day, the Bible says, when he knew he was healed, he decided to put his praise in priority over his papers. In other words, he said, wait a minute, I'm healed. I got to go back and tell him, thank you. Them papers are going to be here when I get through thanking him and praising him and giving him glory. I'm putting my praise ahead of my papers. And so he went back and he cried. The Bible says first, he turned back. And with a loud voice. Why was it with a loud voice? Because he had moved so far from Jesus that he just wanted him to know, I got to say thank you. And he's running on his way back to Jesus. And he falls on his face at Jesus' feet. Gives him peace. You know how powerful thanksgiving and praise is to God. We were created to make his praise glorious. You know, if you really forget why you're here, you need to realize that you were created to make his praise glorious. And if you don't open your mouth and give him praise, then the purpose for your life spiritually is not being fulfilled. That's why so many of us can come to church and don't feel fulfilled after hearing a good word, being in the midst of a good worship service, because you've not participated for the purpose of your creation. You didn't open up your mouth and lift up your hands and give God praise, because that's the purpose for which you were created, to make God's praise glorious. And that's why, listen to this, that's why Jesus is excited about the one who came back, recognizing that what he did was the right thing to do. So I want you to see from Scripture that all those of us who think the Lord knows our heart, and he does, but that it don't take all of that, yes it does, that he wants you tell your neighbor he wants you to praise him. Tell your other neighbor, he wants you to praise. If you ain't got no neighbor, tell yourself, he wants you to praise. Listen at this. I want you to see it in Scripture. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, verse 16, again, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, interestingly enough, he wasn't even a Jew. He was not one of the chosen people of God. What does it say? That Jesus, his own people, did not give him the praise and thanks that he received. And how often have you helped him? And the folk that's closest to you, that's related to you, and so say love that you have given sacrificially to seems to be the most unthankful. Ingrates. I don't care whether you saved or unsaved. It'll mess with you when you done stepped out of your comfort zone to help somebody and they act like you have to do it. Trying to think of it earlier, as brother brought it back to my mind. It was B.B. King who said, I bought you a steak dinner, and you said, thank you for the snack. I bought you a Ford, and you said, I wanted a Cadillac. I gave you 4 children, and now you want to give them all back. Even the world wants praise for what they do. How much more does God deserve praise for what he does? And who should be more thankful and grateful?